The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
This is Vince Russo's The Brand.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a little show called 8 Days a Week. This is a show where me and Lenny Lane go over the highlights of the brand every single week at russosbrand.com. We give you little snippets of the show that you will get in its entirety. You know, I swear, you know, good old Schnozola, you know, started again this weekend online, you know, Glenn. Because bro, I've said it for over a year now, and I'm going to say it again for the 99th millionth time. Okay. On January 24th, I turn 60. So the way I look at it, that maybe gives me 15 years left if I'm lucky. 15 years, bro. Now, think about that, Jeff. I've lived 15 years four times in my life, 15 to 30 to 45 to 60, four times. So this is the last 15. Let me make that clear to everybody. This will be the last 15. So in my opinion, I've got to use these last 15 years wisely. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I see many of my colleagues who are in that last 15 years. And bro, they are still talking nonstop about wrestling. And if they enjoy that, great. Keep talking about wrestling, bro. Bro, you could be doing podcasts when you're laying in your hospital bed and breathing your last breath if that's what you want to do. Okay, bro? If that's what you want to do, God bless you. Okay? Guys, if you've been listening to me and we've been doing this podcast for 5 years, I have been telling you in the last 5 years, at no time have I enjoyed wrestling in the last 5 years. At no time, no time. For the last 5 years, I have been doing it because it was my job. I had subscribers. I had people that, you know, wanted to hear what I had to say about professional wrestling. So I treated it as a job. I watched it. I didn't like it. I didn't like talking about it, but my job is my job. But I've told people for the last year, in my last 15 years, I am not going to waste any of that time. I am not. My last 15 years is too valuable to me. So I have made it clear. I am not going to watch the current wrestling product when I turn 60. I'm not going to watch Raw. I'm not going to watch SmackDown. I'm not going to watch AEW. And I'm not going to talk about the current product. Somebody else, Ben and Stevie, can continue on with the Raw SmackDown review. They don't need me. And the AEW review will continue with PJ. We will find him a co-host. I've told you guys that for a year. My last 15 years are too freaking valuable. But of course, Glenn and Bader, whatever your damn name is, I hope you're listening to this. Of course, Glenn turns that into, me being lazy. Bro, I've told you a million times. There will be more shows when I'm no longer watching this product because I will have more time. So there will be more shows and we will talk about other things. I mean, bro, let's face it, Jeff. I am on Twitch like doing these watch alongs. Bro, for the last couple of years, nobody's watching the show when we're on Twitch. They're not watching the show. We're not talking about the show. We're talking about everything else but the show. What that means is the show is not worthy to be discussed. Okay, bro, wrestling is for two types of people, in my opinion. It's for marks and it's for children. That's who this show is aimed for. Now, there are the hanger-oners that watch it out of habit and think, oh, man, you know, it's going to turn around. No, bro, it ain't ever going to turn around. Like I'm telling you guys, it's never going to turn around. With the people they have in place on top, it's not going to turn around. So this is a show that appeals to marks and children. I am not a mark. I am not a child. So the show does not appeal to me and is a massive waste of my time. Now, Jeff, you know I enjoy talking about the business. I enjoy talking about the industry. I love my conversations with Billy. I love when we do Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Dirt. I love Time Out with Disco. I love talking about the business because I find the psychology of this wrestling bubble like so intriguing. I'll always try to figure out the marks. I mean, you know, castrating the marks. I enjoy that stuff. I'm just not going to watch a really bad game anymore. I mean, that's what it's like, Jeff. It's like watching a really bad game. It's like me watching a game that the Giants are losing 10-0. Like, why would I watch that game? I don't know how to get this through people's freaking heads, Jeff, especially Disco. Don't ever, ever, ever question my freaking work ethic, bro. I want my time is getting more and more valuable because there is less and less left. So I want to use all my time to its full advantage. Jeff, is that so hard to understand?
Now it should be an interesting timeout this week, though.
I don't understand. What is so hard? Bro, I swear to God, it's like going to a movie theater and watching a movie and hating the movie and not enjoying the movie and going back to see the same movie week after week after week after week. Like, what raving lunatic does that?
Yeah, I think I've pointed this out before, but, you know, with the hanger honors or whatever, you know, I did that with The Walking Dead. You know, I enjoyed it at first, and then it became more of a habit, and I just kept watching it every week, and I wasn't into it. And I'm like, why am I spending an hour watching the show every week?
So I just stopped. Sense. And bro, that's not going to say you, money isn't more important than my freaking happiness, bro. It never was. It never has been. How many jobs have I left, bro, in wrestling? Because I wasn't happy. I'm not motivated by money, bro. I'm not, you know, him and Conan, bro, they do these round tables and they review these shows with Patreons. Bro, that's great. If you enjoy that, that's great. I don't want to watch these shows. Bro, I hate to sound this way, Jeff. It's freaking beneath me. It's freaking beneath me to have round circle discussions over Alexa Bliss is in a trance because she's under the spell of the Fiend. What am I, four? What am I, 4 years old, bro? Like, seriously? I'm going to sit here. I'm going to talk about freaking Paul Heyman's funny faces when I'm 63. Like, come on, man. Give me a freaking break. You could give me all the money in the world. That's why people, they think I'm kidding. That if Vince McMahon called tomorrow and said, Vince, come back and do your job and I'll give you, we'll start you at $1 million. No, the $1 million, you might as well say $20,000. I would not do that.
Yeah, I don't think Disco, I don't know if you've really even discussed it with him on any of the shows. I just don't think he understands you stopping watching wrestling does not stop the brand. You're still going to do his show. You're still going to do Castrating the March. You're just going to use that time that you spent doing the other shows, watching the other shows, to do new things. And the other shows will still continue. So
the fact of the matter is he still is a mark for wrestling. He's no different than Meltzer. He's no different than Mitchell. Disco is still a mark for wrestling. I'm not. I never was. The minute that wrestling got bad, I no longer wanted to watch it. It's like anything else, bro. Like if I like a band, the minute the band starts releasing shit music, I'm done with the band. Like it's that simple. If I like a television show, when Michael Scott left The Office, I was done with The Office. I don't know. Like, what's so hard to understand about this stuff, bro? It's real simple. It's real. I would have been done with Rocky after Rocky V had not Sylvester Stallone rebounded with Rocky Balboa. I would have been done with it. I would have been done with the franchise. I don't know what the idea to continue watching something I think sucks is ludicrous to me.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, especially the wrestlers, that's been their entire life. It must be harder for you would think it'd be harder for somebody like Disco to just stop than you. You know, it was never the most important thing to you, but you know, that was what he did for so many years. I don't know. I think it's different for a wrestler to let go.
I agree with that. But just because he doesn't want to let go doesn't mean that I can't let go.
Right.
Jeez, bro, there's so many things. Got so many things to talk about. So many things going on. So many things out there. So many things that matter. Like, God almighty, man. I watched this show the other day on Netflix, Jeff. There's this show. I think it's called The Social Dilemma. And it's all about people, bro, that work for all the social networking services, you know, YouTube and Twitter and Twitch and Facebook and this and that. People that actually worked in the industry and are now coming forward, laying out like the psychological effect and how they're using these outlets to control people. And make people feel a certain way and think a certain way. Jeff, I could do 10 shows on that. Like literally 10 shows. I was sitting, bro, when I was done watching this show, I swear to God, I was like, I'm never turning on my cell phone again. Like I'm never even putting on my cell phone again. I can do 10 shows on this one show and really dive into this that affects us all. Like, because you got to ask yourself the question, okay, like, where are we going with this? If this is where we are now, and these are people that worked in the industry that are telling us, you guys better wake the F up. You have no idea what's happening to you slowly but surely. You mean to tell me, bro, rather than me wanting to discuss that, Jeff, I want to talk about a goof walking around with a crown. What, like, seriously, bro? Like, are you freaking kidding me? A goose walking around with a crown. Freaking Sheamus is wearing a coat with a furry collar. That's what I'm gonna be talking about at 60, bro. Jeez, this show was like so freaking riveting that like I wanted to sit there and I'm like, man, if I could do shows on that, like I would have been taking notes. You know, I would have done more research. I mean, this. So meanwhile, I'm sitting here this morning at 7 a.m. watching freaking SmackDown times 4 because I'm not going to watch it in real time, bro. So I'm watching it times 4, like, and I'm like, can we just get this over with? Can we just end this show? Like, what? It's ridiculous. It's cocky. You know what cocky is? You're a little boy and you got a shit. It's gold. You got to take a cocky. Cocky, bro.
I've never heard that. Cock-a, maybe.
Cocky.
Cocky's like confident.
Cocky. Okay. All right, let's talk about 8 days a week, Jeff. What's going on?
All these shows, guys, in video and audio. RussosBrand.com. All you got to do is go to the top, click subscribe to the Rome Network. And, guys, there's no long-term commitment. You can opt out at any time. So we start the week on Monday, castrating the marks. And for those that don't know, the AEW Go Home show for All Out went back over 1 million viewers. It had been a long time since they hit that number. It was apparently the most watched Go Home episode that they have had, and they didn't really have a lot of wrestling on the show. It was very story-driven, and here's Tony Khan talking about that.
And if there's four times a year going into these pay-per-views where I don't put wrestling on, please know that the other 48 weeks of a year, it is the number one concern. And then, for frankly, I hear you guys on these go-homes. Maybe I should put more wrestling on the go-homes and not be so story driven in the second hour. And the worst thing I could do is not listen to what you guys say and the fans say, because they're always right.
I'm with you, Tony. Put more wrestling on there, bro. Seriously, screw the numbers. Put more wrestling on there.
Jacksonville freaking sucks. This guy's freaking businessman just gets his highest go home show, and he's telling these guys, "Oh yeah, you guys are right, not the numbers." He wants to please these freaking marks more than get.
That's what Vic did the show about today. Bro, Hunter's the same way. Hunter, we got into this whole mess because of Hunter and NXT. That's how this whole thing started, to get over with these freaking marks, bro. You know what I say? Bro, you could have the marks. You could have them. You could have every single one of them, bro. All right, Joe.
But this is the owner of the company knowing that he just had his most successful go home show yet.
Right.
And first he starts by telling the marks, "Hey guys, listen, I promise you the other 48 weeks we'll have more wrestling. And maybe we just need to have more wrestling on these shows because you guys are always right." The frick is wrong with you, man?
He's telling them what they want to hear. That's what they want to hear. So he's telling them what they want to hear. You know, bro, it would be one thing if he was working them, but he's not. He's dead serious. He's dead serious. I wish he was working them, but he's not.
You talk about this ridiculous wrestling business. I think that spells it out. I think that spells out why we do castrating the marks. They don't pay attention to the numbers. They don't know what draws. We just, before we played the clip, I told you how they went over 1 million. It was the most watched go home they have. And here's Tony Khan telling the dirt sheet writers that, "Oh, we need to do more wrestling on the go home shows because you guys say so." It's so illogical.
It is so illogical, Jeff, because bro, you know what I kind of compare it to? Bro, okay, I'm going to use this as an example. Bro, I stumbled across this popcorn. Okay, bro, I saw it like you know how sometimes you go in those places that are God, I don't even know how to explain it, bro. They're not hardware places, but they're like hardware / farm. Like they got little chicks in there, live chicks you could buy. Well, I don't even know how you would categorize these places, what you'd call them. Okay, bro. But anyway, I went in one of these places.
Like a Rural King type place?
Like a Rural King. Thank you, Jeff. Let me give you applause for the Rural King.
Okay, yeah.
Right up until the Rural King, when I went to Indiana, the guy was trying to tell me to go to Rural King, and I couldn't understand what he was saying because he was saying, "Rural King, Rural King. Go, yeah, you need to go Rural." And I kept saying, "What? Can you?" I made the guy write it down for me. And, "Oh, Rural King, bro. Not Rural King. Rural King. Rural King." So, Jeff, I go in this Rural King, okay? Bro, there's this popcorn. It's the company is called Kurz. And it was called Fire Roasted Corn Popcorn. So I'm like, man, the name of that alone sounds good. Like, I'm a big mark for stuff, Jeff. When something sounds good, especially like coffee flavors, you know, when it's all they got to do is give it a fancy name and I'm buying it. So this was fire roasted corn popcorn. All right. So, Jeff, I buy this fire roasted corn popcorn, right? I never saw it anywhere else, only at the Rural King, right? Jeff, I'm addicted to this popcorn. It tastes like corn. It's unbelievable. Okay. Here's the equivalent of it, Jeff. So now I'm addicted to this popcorn. So the equivalent of like these AEW marks that he's catering to and apologizing to for lack of wrestling, bro, it would be like me not wanting anybody else to know about this popcorn or buy this popcorn. It's like, it's my little secret. I don't want to share this popcorn with anybody else in the world. I discovered Kerr's popcorn, and nobody else is going to eat this pop. Think about how freaking ludicrous that is. This is great freaking popcorn, bro. I want others to enjoy this popcorn. I want the world to try this popcorn. But with the AEW marks, it's like, this is our wrestling company. We own this wrestling company. This is our club. We don't want anybody else to watch. If you're not in the club, bro, you can't watch this. And Khan's apologizing to these people. So it would be like the CEO of Kurz apologizing to me because they ran a national advertisement. Vince, we're real sorry, bro, that we let other people know about our popcorn and our brand. We really, bro, the whole idea of all these imbeciles is ludicrous.
It's preposterous. Also on Monday, Mr. versus Mrs. with Big Vito and Noel. Let's take a look at the latest episode.
Mr. Part, my husband, Big Vito LaGrasso. How are you today, Vito?
I'm doing fine. The B-I-G-V from the L-O-G. Former Nick, former rapper, former shaker, baker, candlestick maker. Got it going on. You know, I might, because I'm dynamite, but we'll keep it tight.
Out of sight. That's right. Let's fight. Is it night?
Why do you have to get into all my stuff? You're lucky you have a job here because no, I got it for you.
No,
Thank you.
Didn't. Somebody was watching, Scott actually, was watching the whole Russo debate that he never saw before. It was when we first started podcasting where you and Vince were going back and forth about who gave me a job in podcasting. Loved it. By the way, Russo gave you a job in podcasting.
That's because he's my friend and I know you.
You don't know me. What's my favorite color?
Doesn't matter.
What's my favorite food?
Right now, quesadillas.
It's not my favorite food. I'm just like...
Oh my God.
It's not my favorite. You didn't even say it right. It's quesadilla, not quesadillas.
Listen.
Quesadilla.
You're snorting on
air. No, I went... If I'm snorting, I'm like this. I didn't do that. Oh, by the way, you lost last week. Vegas, here we come, baby. Viva Las Vegas.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. You're not going. Viva, you can't even get on a plane.
I can get on a plane.
You can't do a 6-hour trip.
I can get on a plane for Las Vegas.
You're not going.
Yes, I am. I'll go with your sister.
Go ahead.
We'll leave you home.
That's
you can stay here with the old folks in Florida.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll stay home. I'll have a good time.
So you lost again. I just
won. Hold on, wait a minute. I was on a winning streak.
And you lost.
No, but wait a minute. I was on a winning streak. So how could you say I lost again?
Well, because if you weigh out wins and losses, I have ultimately won way more than you have ultimately won. So therefore, you lost again.
But ultimately, it's about time you pulled a win. Because I got tired of winning.
I was sick of winning. I went the whole first 6 months of the show without a loss. No L in my book. I was the ultimate warrior. You're so disgusted.
And he was garbage.
Excuse me. Know your history, okay? Ultimate Warrior is way more than just wrestling. It was a movie starring Yul Brynner, okay? And he was the ultimate warrior. Learn history. Not everything is wrestling, Vito. Not everything is wrestling. I can't.
Tuesday talks with Taylor Hendricks. This week, Taylor had on wrestler Ronnie Nicole. Here's a clip from that episode.
So much. You've gone to so many places, met so many people. You've been in so many situations that would have broken people down and make them want to quit their dreams, which is awful in and of itself. So for you, now that wrestling's coming back, what would you like to see change? Is there anything that you would like to see be better for everyone, if anything at all?
You know, I do think that there's wrestling is always beautiful and wonderful. And I want to be very specific that I don't think wrestling itself is the problem. I think what we have are a lot of people who get into wrestling with unresolved traumas and issues, and they use wrestling to kind of make themselves feel better, you know, and make themselves feel bigger. And in some ways that kind of goes to your head and you start making these bad decisions and kind of forgetting where you are. Wrestling attracts a lot of lost people. So I want to say that it's not wrestling, but it's people within wrestling who are making, you know, not great decisions. And a lot of the things that have been going on and coming out, especially on Twitter, you know, with speaking out and with some of the racial things that other wrestlers of color have also been coming out and speaking about, I would like to see there be some sort of accountability council. And I say that because it's easy to do. It's easy to get three or four people to advise you on your business and your cards. Make sure you have an actual sexual harassment policy in place. Make sure you have a diversity policy in place. Make sure that you have some sort of gender training, sensitivity training, so that people can understand the appropriate ways to interact with each other. And that goes for women as well, you know, because there are women out there not acting appropriately, just as there are men doing that as well.
Yes.
And so I would really like to see organizations really take it more seriously in terms of, if we're going to make change, let's go ahead and make those at a structural level and have a little committee of people who advise us on the things that we're doing to make sure that if we say we're going to be inclusive, we are including everyone. That includes people of color, the LGBTQ community, maybe even people with disabilities who are able to wrestle, you know, because that is a thing. And we don't talk about that enough within the community, I think, as well. You know, so I would really love to see organizations and wrestlers, you know, if the organizations won't do it, then it's up to us to continue. For those of us who have always done that, you know, wrestlers such as yourself, you've never had a problem speaking out when something's wrong and you call people on the carpet, and that's how it should be done. More wrestlers need to take that attitude, because this is a business. You don't walk into Target and do some of the things that go on in professional wrestling. People will get fired. Okay, you can't walk into a corporate office and pull some of this malarkey. Now, yes, they have their issues there, but what we're talking about really crosses some boundaries and some lines into unsafe working environments, you know? And I'm talking about physically and emotionally, and that's not right. People should not have to feel anxious or scared, or if they speak out, they're going to get blackballed, or they're a problem and they're hard to work with because they would like to be treated with respect and not like to be hit on when I'm trying to talk to you about a booking. I don't need your comments about my appearance at that time, because we're here talking business. You know, I know that we are characters, but you can't live a two-faced life, like a literal two, you know, like this is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde situations in some of these cases. And these are people we share locker rooms with, that children are around. I just hope that we can really walk in accountability. You know, if we know there are people on shows who've done things that are wrong, we don't need to have them in the locker room. Cars subject to change, you know?
That's true. And I think you brought up a lot of very valid points. Unfortunately, I don't see that happening anytime soon. And it's not because I'm bitter. It's not a lack of faith. It's because too.
On Wednesday, the Raw and SmackDown review, you, Stevie Richards, Ben Hameen, talking about ridiculous distractions that cause these wrestlers' matches, like Cesaro and Nakamura being distracted by the Street Profits eating their popcorn and Aleister Black with the lights flickering.
How many of those 5,000 matches did you lose a match because you were distracted by somebody on the big screen eating popcorn? Stevie, how many losses did you suffer that way? Somebody was on the screen eating popcorn. It got your attention in the middle of a match and you got beat. How many?
Well, see, I'm a little more predisposed because I was so used to watching the Marine trailers during commercial breaks that they couldn't. I already had my fill of the Titantron by the time we came back from break.
Oh, God.
I didn't even want to look at the thing after that.
Bro, the shit that they get distracted by. And this goes right into Aleister Black last night. You know, well, Ben, I mean, the light flickering. Oh. Bro, this was a guy that was knocking on people's door to eat their hearts. But somebody flickers the lights and the guy's in a panic. But stay with this one, Ben. Go ahead.
I've lost 4 matches to popcorn eating, 2 to ice cream. Someone was up there eating ice cream. I was like, I'm not falling for this again. And then somebody was eating kettle chips, and the crunching just kept distracting me. And I depends on the snack that's on the screen that actually if I'm going to win or lose. Who's in production again, helping finishes and this type of stupid shit, man. And we'll get to the retribution blackout stuff. But then the flickerer, the light flickerer, he's back. Yeah. He's like the Hamburglar, the flickerer. You know, like that's where we're going with it. Got him, you know, who's back there doing that stupid shit. That's where we are with a guy, Aleister Black, who they've restarted an X amount of things. How many times, man? We'll get to that on Raw as well.
Well, I was going to say, too, maybe there is a dose of reality in this that we can touch on in Master Chief Theater. You have to examine maybe all these people are fathers, because I know anytime the air conditioning kicks on, I have to check it because I know my electric bill. I don't want it to go over. And that's when those lights flicker, maybe the dad DNA goes off. Like I have to fix the light. Maybe it's a fire hazard where my electric bill is going to be too goddamn high.
Bro, this is the one thing. This is one of the two things I would have discussed. If this were my show, I would have discussed one of two things. Here's number one.
I mean, these finishes are just so lame, lazy, generic, cheap, basic. Did you ever have to deal with people trying to lay out lazy finishes like this? I mean, seriously, people on the screen in front of your curtain with your popcorn, that's going to make you lose a match. You try to think of a football game's going on and a fan's doing something in the crowd and the quarterback's looking at him instead and he gets sacked. You know?
And then on top of that, bro, you know who's going over in every single mat. Like, why am I watching this? Like, oh my God, bro, please. Bro, do you remember Naked Gun?
Oh yeah,
bro. Remember at the end, was Leslie Nielsen like in a trance or something? He was very
wrong. That was Reggie Jackson was.
Yeah, bro. That's Alexa Bliss. That's where they got the idea from. Alexa Bliss is doing the Reggie Jackson from Naked Gun. I just thought of that. Go ahead. What's next?
Moving on to Thursday, Black and White. You and Stevie Ray in this clip. You guys are talking about the new inclusion standards. If you want to be nominated for Best Picture eligibility with the Oscars.
In order for your film now to be considered for a Best Picture, you've got to meet 2 out of these 4 standards. Standard number 1, it's called Standard A, on-screen representation themes and narratives. To achieve Standard A, the film must meet 1 of the following criteria. At least 1 of the lead actors or significant supporting actors is from an underrepresented facial or ethnic group. And they list them: Asian, Hispanic, Latino, Black, African American, Indigenous, Native American, Alaskan Native, Middle East and North Africa, Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islanders, other underrepresented race or ethnicity. So in other words, one of the actors, a lead actor or supporting actor, must represent one of those groups. At least 30% of all actors in secondary and more minor roles are from at least 2 of the following unrepresented groups: women, racial or ethnic group, LGBT, people with cognitive or physical disabilities, or who are deaf or hard of hearing. Okay. Storyline subject matter. The main storyline's theme or narrative of the film is centered on an underrepresented group: woman, racial or ethnic group, LGBTQ, people with cognitive or physical disabilities. Okay, Stevie, that is just Standard A. Standard B, bro, is the creative leadership on the project team. on the project team, you know, creative leadership and department heads, bro. At least two of the following creative leadership positions and department heads: casting director, cinematographer, composer, costume director, director, editor, hairstylist, makeup artist, producer, production design, set design, yada, 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 are from the following underrepresented group: woman, racial or ethnic, LGBTQ, people with cognitive or physical disabilities, or who are deaf or hard of hearing. At least one of the positions must be is Asian, Hispanic, Black, blah, 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 blah. So I'm sitting here and I'm saying to myself, like, wait a minute. So, like, what are you telling me here? Are you assuming here, and are you telling me that everybody that makes a movie is some form of a racist and has
no, no. I don't think they're saying that.
Tell me what's your knee-jerk reaction to that?
Well, once I listen to what you're saying and once I try to put things into context, I think Hollywood, and you got to realize something, these are films that you said, I haven't heard this, but going by what you said, that are going to be considered for the Academy Awards.
Yes, Best Picture.
Or Best Picture, which is only going to be a few pictures a year. But be that as it may, that really does not pertain to the variety of movies and most movies that's getting made, because most movies that's getting made are not Academy Award status type movies. Most of them, the majority of them, I say 80% of them. So with Hollywood, a lot of people look at Hollywood as to how we see each other. Hollywood has a lot to do with how people perceive other people, how people see other people. Now, Hollywood, it seems as though they're putting their foot forward, whether you like it or not, or whether you understand it or not, or whether you agree or disagree or not, that the films, slowly but surely, that we're putting money behind, because somebody's financing them, and big studios put big money behind films. And if we're going to have the influence to influence people, this is what we want from the people that's coming to us in a certain way for financing big time movies. So before financing even get put out there for these movies, these things have to be done before they go into production. And if I didn't know better, for the last few years, everything that you're talking about, I'm starting to see on television and on cable. Commercials. I'm seeing.
Good show. That was a good show this week.
And more Tony Khan here in our clip, Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco. You guys are discussing Tony Khan's appearance on a recent episode of Dynamite.
He looked absolutely nothing like the owner of a company. He looked like a guy just like he was dressed like Kenny Omega was dressed. Shirt and short, but it's like 100 degrees. It's like it's hot there.
His hair, you know, like hot, yeah. He's got that kind of hair too, where like the humidity looks like a rat's nest, bro. Yeah.
I mean, I don't see how this guy could be an entertaining character unless he's a like they do his character from these scrums and they make him to be a total goof.
You know why you missed it?
What are you kidding?
You know why you missed it, Vince?
Why?
It's because you're doing your Twitch. You're probably looking at the comments and on the Twitch stream and stuff, and you probably turned you because it's very brief.
That's Tony Khan.
Yeah,
that's Tony Khan. It looks like a freaking PA.
That's what I'm saying. You had no idea, guys.
Tony Khan. Hold on. Wait a minute. That is not Tony Khan. That's
100% it is.
That is an intern. It's an intern.
No.
Hold on. I'm watching again. That's an intern, bro.
Listen to what they say.
Me and Conan were saying, bro, he should have like been up and gotten in their face. You know, what are you guys doing? And he's just sitting there. He's like,
goof.
They totally punked him, bro.
Bro, I heard that. Do you know what Tony Khan's net worth is?
No, I know the old man's got way more money than Vince, but I don't
know. Tony Khan, bro, $11.7 billion. And the guy dresses like a complete slob.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you would never see Vince McMahon in any, unless he's wrestling, of course, in his character. But even that, when he's on TV in his character, he's always dressed.
Yeah, bro, please. But you
know what that all goes down back to, bro? He wants to be one of the boys.
You know? You talk about these guys showing up in orange shorts and everything. Well, no wonder when your leader's doing the same
thing. Exactly, bro. Disgraceful.
Well, also on the Realm Network, we have the Triple Threat Podcast, the franchise, Shane Douglas. Here's a clip from the latest episode.
He was talking about you, and then he stopped, and then he said, basically, you can't believe anything that you say because he's come to find out that you're a Trump supporter and you also are a conspiracy theorist, and you believe everything that he said about the Clintons and this and that. And that was where he kind of started to go into his, you know, Jim Cornette, isms.
Yeah, he gets – I had him so pissed off that his face was red. He was red, which later in the day in Detroit would be the Santino. So I think this was the appetizer to that. And he got so wound. I literally thought he was going to have a heart attack. And Dominic, it was one of the first times I took Dominic on the road with me. And he came over. It was 10, 15 feet away. Came over and said, kid, take it easy. You're going to have a heart attack. he gets so wound up, which I think is a huge problem in our politics today. You know, if you and I can't sit and talk about differences in politics without digressing into you're a Nazi or you're a snowflake, it's pretty pathetic. You know, I used to have a 10th grade teacher, Mrs. Fatula, who used to say, profanity is the sign of a mental cripple, right? Coming from the franchise, that says something. but, you know, what she meant by that was, if you can't find something intelligent to say, don't say anything. And, and she belabored that point all 10th grade. I can sit and talk politics with anybody. And, when it digresses into that kind of stuff, as you know, the franchise can lob a few bombs as well. I'd much prefer that our politics reside back where it used to, where we could have differences and not get name called for it. With all due respect, I think throwing a word around like Nazi is somewhat less, but in the same vein as throwing the other N word around, you know, because that's a word. Like, you talk to any person that's Jewish, talk to anybody that's fought in World War II, like my father did, that ain't a word you just throw around loose willy nilly. You know, it's a disgusting word, but that's where our politics has digressed to, you know. So, you know, me and Jim have quite a few political differences, and I'd be happy to sit and talk with him anytime he wants.
It's crazy.
I may not agree with his politics or, you know, get into the politics thing, but everything else he said about you is correct. You're not as good as Steamboat. Steamboat's a better worker.
I agree.
Scott Hall did sandbag you in WWF. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yep. What else did he say? The Click had maybe had too much stroke, you know, things like that.
Yeah. ECW. Stuff we've heard, yes.
ECW, too much cursing, too much ripping on Flair. I agree.
Well, the thing, you know, and I agree with the Flair thing after a certain point when it became apparent that nothing was ever going to come of that.
Right.
I went to Paul and, you know, half begged him, you know, please give me something else to talk about, because it was starting to look a bit ridiculous when everybody knew he wasn't coming. And quite frankly, I had a lot more to say than just Flair. There were a few other targets that I thought deserved a little bit of attention from the franchise. But Paul kept wanting that and kept pushing it. I love how Flair, by the way, turned that around, because I told Flair that, right? And he tried to turn around and say, I disavowed all the stuff that I had said about him, and said it was all Paul Heyman, which I'll say it here for the first time on this podcast, and probably the millionth time in my career, I never said those words to Rick. I told him exactly why I said the things about him that I'd said. And I didn't just do it after ECW. I did it from ECW. And if you go back and look at all the comments that I've made before, during, and since, I think you'll find a bit of a thread that runs through all of them. And the consistency is 100%.
Bro, Ocho is on Twitch. I must kill the queen. That was the Reggie Jackson gimmick.
Yeah.
That's what Alexa Bliss is doing. And the announcers are selling it like, oh, what's come over Alexa Bliss? She suddenly in a chair. Yeah, this I'm going to be watching when I'm 65 years old. Oh, what's next, bro? Oh, jeez.
Saturday, bucket full of chicken necks. In this clip, you are discussing the effect that the WWE Thunderdome has had on the viewership.
At this point, do we give a shit about wrestling? I mean, honestly, is wrestling changing our lives? That's the question we have to ask ourselves when we wake up every morning and we look in the mirror. Is wrestling really changing my life? The answer is no. You know, guys, I told you a couple of weeks ago, we had Billy Body. Billy does my new show over on Patreon, patreon.com/RussoTWC. We record that on Fridays, me and Billy, and it comes out on Saturday. And Billy was telling me that the WWE was banking everything in this Thunderdome. And they literally thought the ratings were going to go through the roof with this new presentation. And I sat here, and what's the old saying, bro? You can shine up a turd, but it's still a turd. I said to Billy, bro, forget the presentation. If the content is still the same, the newness, the novelty of the presentation is going to wear off. You know, it was the same thing, guys. Remember when COVID first hit and all of a sudden fans weren't allowed in the building and, oh my God, we had to tune into wrestling to see what that looked like? And then as soon as we turned into wrestling and saw what that looked like, we started fading fast again because the content sucks. So they go in this Thunderdome, bro. And oh my God, we got to see what this Thunderdome looks like. Is Tina Turner going to be in there? And what happens, bro? The novelty of the Thunderdome wears off. WWE now down 3 weeks in a row again since the reveal of the Thunderdome. Bro, when are you going to understand? Television is content driven. When content sucks, I don't give a damn if you're putting the show on at the Taj Mahal. It doesn't matter. Good content rules. And when you don't have good content, bro, it doesn't matter. You can mask it with whatever you want to mask it with. It doesn't matter. And I said that from the get-go, bro. I said that from the beginning. I said that from the start. And look at what has happened. Oh, guys. But who gives a shit about wrestling? Like, honestly.
And you pointed out pretty clearly there, it's the content. That's what it's always going to go down to. I look at it like a sports team gets a brand new state-of-the-art stadium, but eventually that novelty wears off. And if the team sucks, the fans aren't going to the game just for the nice stadium.
Yep. Bro, that happened to the Giants. I mean, I can't tell you, they opened up a Pac Bell and, bro, they had a string of sold out games. Like, I think they set a record, but then all of a sudden the team got bad and that streak was over. Like, it's that simple, bro. I mean, you know, again, bro, you know, it's just business inside the bubble is just not normal, man. Just not normal. I mean, bro, in the bubble, you know, like, you know, when people don't perform, they're fired. You know, how can you have the same writers like for years and years and years and years when they have not performed? Like, it's just stuff like that that's I don't understand.
Remember, guys, all those shows in video and audio. If you like to listen to audio on the go, you get your own private RSS feed from the Realm Network to pop into your favorite podcast app. It's real inexpensive, guys, and there's no long-term commitment. You can opt out at any time. Just go to russosbrand.com right at the top. Subscribe to the Realm Network.
Guys, we're going to do a Patreon. We're going to do a bonus show right now. But I had enough with Lance Storm. Like, enough. Like, seriously. Like, this guy is freaking obsessed with me. So we're going to talk about that on our Patreon bonus show that only you Patreons are going to get, bro. You got to go to patreon.com/RussoTWC and check out all these brand shows, bro. We really appreciate your you subscribing and your patronage, guys. We will be back tomorrow. What's tomorrow, Jeff? Friday.
Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco on Realm, and Timeout on Patreon, and the AEW review on Patreon as well.
There you go, guys. We will see you tomorrow.